Our Old Testament reading is taken from Exodus chapter 16, starting to read at verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Our New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 20. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered to one of them, 'Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you.' Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Amen.
We pray together. So, eternal God, as we have heard your word, and as we come now to reflect upon it, grant us the help of your Holy Spirit, and help us to respond to your word appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an awful accusation when somebody says, particularly of a Christian, but of anybody, that they think that they're better than me, that they have that air of superiority over me, that they think they're better than me. In this passage, we really get Christ's teaching on that sense of entitlement that some people seem to have over everyone else. They think they deserve something because of who they are or because of what they've done, and they deserve, they think, more. They think they've earned it in some way. It is possible to develop a sense of entitlement, even subconsciously, over time, and it's something that we need to be aware of ourselves as followers of Christ. And first and foremost, I'm preaching to myself as we reflect upon this passage, for this is something in our character we need to deal with and acknowledge and to repent of, because we know that we all have that sin of pride and ego. None of us are immune to it just because we're followers of Jesus. And the sense of entitlement is rooted in the sin of pride. Pride is something that is unseen but lies deep within the heart. It's just like an iceberg. The danger of the iceberg isn't in its strength, but in its hidden strength. It's what lies beneath the surface. And because pride infects the motives, even the most spiritual actions, like praying, like serving, like giving, can actually be rooted in arrogance and self-love. So how do we spot this unseen enemy of pride within us? Well, the litmus test is fairly straightforward. Do you have a sense of entitlement? Entitlement is like the tip of the iceberg. Every now and again, it'll bob above the surface into the realm of conscious thought and actions. So how is entitlement related to pride? Entitlement is the belief that you deserve to be given something. And pride, of course, is having an inflated opinion of your own importance or merit or superiority, especially compared to others. The higher you think of yourself, the more you feel you deserve. The more full of pride you are, the more you feel entitled to. And so as the psalmist prayed, so we also need to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So what of our reading from Matthew 20 today? Matthew has this parable sandwiched between two very interesting episodes in Christ's ministry. The first episode was of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, and we know the dialogue. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And of course, Jesus says, "Go and sell all your possessions, all your belongings, and come and follow me." And we're told the young ruler went away sad because he just couldn't do that. Well, it's interesting. Peter picks up that conversation and he makes a statement and then has a question. The statement, he says, "We've given up everything to follow you." And his question then, in verse 27 of Matthew 19, what will we get out of it? What's in it for us? The second episode is then immediately following this passage in Matthew 20, where the mother of James and John has this conversation with Jesus and is asking Jesus for the favored place in Jesus' new kingdom for her sons. You can just imagine Jesus feeling very exasperated as he tries once more to communicate the values of his kingdom. Because this isn't about what's in it for me, what am I entitled to? Being selfish is a value of this world. But this kingdom of Jesus is about living in humility and in grace. So we come to the parable that Jesus taught. Jesus said that the owner of a vineyard went out early one morning and hired workers to work in his vineyard for one denarius each. That's a day's wage. Now, that was a wage that allowed you to go home after work and feed your family that night. Then Jesus said that the owner went out at the different times of the day. So they started at 6 o'clock, then he went at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and eventually comes to 5 o'clock, just an hour before the end of the day. And there's people still standing idly around the marketplace. And he asks them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" And they answered, "Because no one has hired us." I don't know if you've ever seen would-be workers hanging around. It's something that you perhaps see in African countries rather than in this part of the world. But of course, employers will first choose those who are the fittest and the strongest to work for them. But then it comes to 5 o'clock, just before the end of the day, and these men, who are no doubt the weakest of the group, are standing idly by, and Jesus says, the vineyard owner says, "Will you come and work for me as well?" And without hesitation, they go and work. They don't know what they're going to earn, but they're just happy to get the work. Now, evening comes, and it's time to get paid. Deuteronomy 24 speaks of the obligation of an employer to fairly pay the workers. So they come for their wages. But those who collect their wages are the ones who were employed at 5 o'clock, the last employed. Now, if you're one of the workers, you're thinking, well, you normally get one denarius for a 12-hour day. Well, we could expect to get the equivalent of 1/12 of a denarius. But here's what happens. The vineyard owner gives the workers who have only worked 1 hour one full day's wage, one denarius. They couldn't believe what they had received. They would have been delighted. They would have been ecstatic. Now they could go home and literally feed their family. Then we're told in the passage, those who had worked all day come to receive their wage. Now, they might be thinking, well, look at these guys, worked only an hour and they get one denarius. We're going to get a lot more. In fact, verse 10 tells us that. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. And we know the story. They too receive one denarius, one day's wage. And of course, they grumble and complain at the apparent unfairness of it all. And to be honest with you, as I read this story again, I don't know about you, but I feel a bit sorry for those who had worked all day. It would have been very tough manual labor, and no doubt they felt it was unfair. We've worked 12 hours in the heat of the day, and these people have only worked 1 hour at the end of the day when it's not quite so hot and there's not as much work to do, and we get exactly the same pay. If that happened here, you would really be annoyed. So you can understand their frustration. But here's the problem. They felt entitled to more money. It didn't matter to them that the agreement had been made earlier on. This is what I will agree to pay you, says the vineyard owner. And they were paid the amount that they had agreed upon. But that sense of entitlement is seen in other stories in the Bible. Think back to the prodigal son. The younger son, we know, had asked for his half of the inheritance, had gone off and squandered it all, and then came back, tail between his legs. Father goes out to meet him, has a big party, and the older son is jealous. It's not fair, he cries, because the younger son has gone and done all these terrible things, and he gets a big party, and I was here all the time working for you. He felt that sense of entitlement to his own party. But he had missed that it was time to be joyful that the younger son had returned. A sense of entitlement leads to a grumbling spirit. And of course, it is Jesus himself who sets the example of how kingdom living is meant to look like. Paul writes in Philippians 2, this wonderful early Christian hymn, telling us about how Jesus, even though he was God in the flesh, God incarnate, he didn't take up equality with God. He was entitled to that, but he didn't take it up for the benefit of others. And Paul writes, that's the attitude that we're to have. See, over time, the sense of entitlement can creep into our attitude, even subconsciously. We're not even aware of it. I've said before, sometimes we have blind spots that we just can't see in ourselves. We need someone to lovingly and graciously come alongside us and say, do you notice this about yourself? That's why we need accountability groups in the church, because we know we're no better than anybody else. We need that support and that help and that encouragement from others, because we can get caught in the trap of thinking, well, I've been in the church longer, so I deserve whatever. Or I've been in a leadership role in the church, so I deserve whatever. And of course, we can easily get angry when others seem to be recognized perhaps for their service and we aren't. The attitude of entitlement is contrary to the attitude of grace. So in the kingdom, the first will be last, and the last will be first. As it happens, over the last 3 weeks, we've been reflecting on values in God's kingdom. 2 weeks ago, we were thinking about our young people and children and how Jesus made a special place for them. Then last week, we reflected on how we should not judge others and how they exercise their Christian faith. Providing there's no biblical prohibition, we should allow space and grace for people to exercise their faith in different ways. And of course, within God's kingdom, there is the value of showing mercy, especially to those in the church family. And so today, the value that we reflect upon is to recognize the need to have a spiritual examination of ourselves, to check where we have that pride within us, that we've in some way developed a sense of entitlement, that which is contrary to kingdom living. But rather, the value that we have in the church as followers of Jesus is to pray for humility and to seek the Lord's forgiveness for our pride. Let's pray together. And so, eternal God, examine our hearts, we pray. We know only too well that we're not better than anybody else. But forgive us, Lord, for those times when we have that sense of entitlement through our attitude, that we feel that we deserve something or have earned something because of who we are or perhaps of what we've done. Forgive us for our pride. And fill us with your Spirit, a Spirit that brings true humility. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.